Small Biz America.
This is Small Biz America with your host, David Wolf.
Small Biz America.
Hi, this is David Wolf. We've got a real treat for you. I recently had the privilege of sitting down with Vern Rayburn. He's the visionary and CEO behind Eclipse Aviation, which is basically changing the face of air travel as we know it. We've divided the interview into four segments. Here's segment three of our four-part series. Enjoy. There's something you've talked a little bit about your manufacturing model moving away from a vertical integration to that of outsourcing, and I think outsourcing is the main theme that mm-hmm. I've heard you mention. Why does that work better?
Well, it's a really simple concept, and aviation is kind of the last great industry to even be aware, let alone adopt this. If you look at pretty much all the industries around the world today, I don't care if it's automotive or consumer electronics or digital or whatever, the concept is really, really basic. And it's not just about labor rates, because especially as you move into complex devices where there's a tremendous amount of automation in the manufacturing, the percent of labor that is in the total cost goes down. And so the perception that outsourcing is all about finding cheaper labor is a really incorrect perception. What it really is about is finding the people who are the best at a single task. And so that's really the underlying concept of outsourcing, okay. is go find the world's best, the world class, who does fill in the blank, welding, machining, whatever, or who has the highest volume so that they're general cost, particularly overhead absorption, can go down from there. So, you know, we could go out and buy a five-axis milling machine, mill spars for this airplane without any problem. But, you know, I won't use that milling machine 22 hours a day, 7 days a week. Like a company that's all they do is mill parts will use that machine. Mm-hmm. So their cost will go down simply because they use their resources, their capital investment, significantly more at a greater level, which gives them a lower overhead absorption rate. So that's the real concept of outsourcing, is find the organizations that because of volume, because of skill, because of investment, because of technology, they're the best at whatever it is that they're doing. Use them and recognize what you're the best at. So another way to put this is it's a brutal assessment of who's really adding value in the value chain. Because in a pure economic theory, value add equals profit. And now lots of companies try to permute that value chain, and they try to take somebody else's profit. And when you do look at industries, particularly like the PC business, there's a brutalness. There's an absolutely abject honesty about who's adding value. And so as a result, you get very, very low costs throughout the thing. We simply looked at the aviation industry and said, historically, and this was especially true in the general aviation sector, this is an industry that has followed the old Henry Ford model of complete and total vertical integration. And if you look at the history of manufacturing, you realize fairly rapidly that companies like Ford, where they were massively vertically integrated, they did that out of necessity because they were coming from a world of shopkeepers. They were coming from a world of bespoke, handmade type of products, and they wanted to do mass production. There were not mass producers, so they had to go and become the mass producer of everything, be it ore, be it steel, be it leather, be it rubber, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. What's occurred then as the world matured from there is that more and more of those mass production techniques became distributed throughout vendor bases or to other companies, and that's when the concept of outsourcing really became very, very viable. And of course, the Japanese were the ones who really taught this, because as they recovered from, you know, being bombed back into the Stone Age after World War II, you know, they were forced to be as efficient as they could be. You know, the old saying about necessity is always what drives real invention. Yeah. They had to come up with different manufacturing models. And American companies, unfortunately, took a long time to figure that out. We went pretty much well into the 70s before, particularly things like the auto companies finally said, maybe there is a different way. The general aviation business, because it essentially collapsed in the late 70s, never went through that transition. So we came in and said, look, we just think there's a more efficient, a better way. We'll design it, we'll assemble it, We're not going to fabricate it. And by doing that, we preserve our capital. We shift some of the capital costs over to our vendors, but then they can amortize that capital cost because they're building parts for me and two dozen other companies. And so they're being very efficient, and they're making big investments in the newest and best and the most efficient and the most effective machine tools or whatever whatever it is that we're buying, whether it's electronics or machine parts. And you combine all those and this concept of outsourcing, which is so maligned today in society, it's just a really efficient way to build something. And the more efficient you are at building it, the less you're going to have to charge for it.
It sounds like then the Eclipse company is almost a, aside from the vision, you're a project management and assembly type of company. Is that fair, or how
no,
would you describe?
That's not fair.
How would you describe
Eclipse is
your participation in the process of
Eclipse is extraordinarily involved at the beginning and at the end. And so Eclipse does, besides the vision thing, Eclipse does two things at the beginning. One is we really own, control, make the design. And it's not something that we outsource the design. So that's all done here. We've got a great engineering organization. And then there's a huge systems integration, and so which is much more than program management. That's we're the organization that actually knits together the parts that we say we need this function, we need it to work this way, and then we knit all those parts together in a design and engineering type of fashion.
Right, thanks.
And then there is the assembly process.
Right.
Now, there turns out there's another skill in here, and it's a really crucial skill, and it's one of those ones that if you don't think this thing through fairly carefully, you get yourself trapped in, and we've made a couple of mistakes in this area. And it's that if you're going to have this outsource strategy, you better be really, really good at managing your vendors. Because when you don't manage them, they kill you. And it's the old analogy about, you know, a roof that only leaks in one place is still a leaky roof. And you can't have just one bad vendor, because if you have one bad vendor, you still can't build the airplane because you need parts from all the vendors. And so that in itself is a really large skill set. And again, you look at companies, be it a Dell computer or a Toyota, that's something they're really, really, really good at, is managing the vendor base. And I don't mean, you know, in punitive fashions, but in a partnership fashion, and integrating, whether it's all the way from MRP systems to just understanding really what the trades are to make something. It's a very, very complex task, and it's in some ways a very, very different task than managing a large manufacturing company two or three decades ago. But it's the way you have to run companies today.
Who do you feel is the primary customer? What group of customers are ideal for this product?
Well, that's one of the exciting things about the Eclipse 500, and it's something that gives me a lot of satisfaction personally, is I don't think there's been an airplane quite like this for many decades, in that this aircraft has such a broad appeal that there's no one group that it appeals to specifically. I think the best analogy, or the last airplane that I can come up with that really had this level of appeal, would probably be something like the old Beechcraft Model 18, the Beech 18. Mm-hmm. And that was an airplane that was used by airlines, by corporations, by individuals, by movie stars. I mean, it was a great, great airplane, and they literally built tens of thousands of them. And that was an airplane that was utilized in virtually every conceivable application that you can think of. And we see the same thing with the Eclipse 500. It's appealing to corporations, both corporations that already own large corporate jets and companies that have never been able to afford corporate jets. Lots and lots of guys like me who are pilots and have owned airplanes. For many of them, this is the ultimate fantasy, to have your own jet. The nascent air taxi business. And very fascinatingly, we're starting to see, and we just don't even know how to really fully think about this yet, but we're starting to see a level of demand outside the United States that's pretty staggering. And there, it's not individuals. And there, it's not necessarily airlines. It's new companies saying, here's a new way to travel. And by the way, in our country, we need new ways to travel because we don't have good roads, or we don't have good trains, or we don't even have airlines. I mean, in some ways, this could be an extraordinarily important third world product. And I don't think we ever really fully thought about that when we were doing this. And so that's why I say I think the appeal is extraordinarily, almost staggeringly broad. And how that's all going to finally result in terms of sales numbers and production numbers, I just don't know yet.
Small Biz America.
You've been listening to our four-part series with Vern Rayburn, Entrepreneur of the Sky. Be sure to stay with Small Biz America for more with Vern Rayburn, the CEO and visionary behind Eclipse Aviation.